This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It is a Tuesday, all stinking day. I feel like I've already seen every minute of the Tuesday. After that storm last night, the dogs didn't sleep. I didn't sleep. We're in a great mood.
You had a storm?
Oh, my goodness. We had thunder and lightning.
We had one here. Unbelievable.
The boys, let me tell you something. We had stuff rattling in the house last night. I thought we had an earthquake going on in Charlotte. It was rocking in the Queen City, and the dogs were not happy. Chester and Fuller, they were out like lights right here. I mean, they may not get up till tonight. Look out. Actually, Fuller's back here behind me. Chester's out like a light. He looks like he's been shot. Oh, I shouldn't say shot.
No, you shouldn't.
That word gives me the cringe after the doctor's visit yesterday. I got every shot known to man except COVID yesterday. I had a nurse yesterday, Wes, ask me. She comes walking in with like 100 needles. I swear to God, it seemed like it.
And she said to you, are you a real estate agent?
No, she says, hey, can I buy a house? No, she did not. She says, now your arms are going to be sore, so do you want them in each arm? I looked at her and said, why would I do that? I said, no matter how many needles you've got, I said, could we just do it in like one arm? At least I've got one arm that works, right? And that's the truth. I mean, if you gave me a cheeseburger right now and put it in my left hand, I couldn't get it to my face. That's how bad it is. And you know I'd eat it. All right, let's get started with the show. I mean, what a night. Goodness gracious. All right, 844-SAY-ACCN. That's the number you always need to know if you want to partake in the next 2 hours and 57 minutes of content. You know, despite the storms here in Charlotte, despite the weather forecast in Bristol,
that's right,
we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. And, of course, our buddies at SiriusXM right there at 371, all your ACC news all day long. They've got us till 10 a.m.
You got it.
So that's the game plan. You doing all right otherwise?
I'm doing fine. A couple hours of rumbling and tumbling last night.
That was because it was your birthday. January. Wait a minute. That's because it was your birthday. That had nothing to do with the weather.
No, we had a little tornado warnings and watches overnight. And about 2 in the morning, I was sleeping pretty good. And then all of a sudden, thunder and heavy rain and then hail and all of a sudden tornado warning. I'm like, what? It's January. But everybody's good and we're off to a good morning. I tell you who else is having a good morning is Virginia.
Yeah.
Because the Cavaliers now, we've gone from, hey, you know, losing in Fort Worth to Gonzaga the day after Christmas to there is a whole new ball game being played in Charlottesville. And I got to tell you guys, this is not your Virginia of Malcolm Brogdon. This is a 94-foot three-point shooting Virginia pack. This is a five out, sometimes four out, one in with Jay Huff. And it is, tell you what, they put a fork in Syracuse last night. My goodness.
You know what I thought of watching this game last night? Is can I get Tony Bennett back on the show and ask him again, do you think this is your best offensive team? And he tried to downplay it. And I think he knows what he has. That's what I think. I think this team is starting to get into a rhythm. We keep talking about, right? You got to play games. You get better as the season goes on. You have great coaching and good players. That's probably a pretty good combination. Given all the pauses and disruptions early, you know, no cupcakes as far as schedules go. You know, teams are now starting to round into shape who've been playing. And Virginia doesn't look anything like that crew that rolled into Texas and got waxed by Gonzaga. This is a good-looking club. Really good.
Yeah, it is. And the thing, too, is, and you're right, built differently, playing differently. Cavaliers last night, Sam Hauser and Jay Huff each with 21. Huff was 8 of 11 from the floor, finished with a dozen rebounds. Hauser tossed in 7 threes last night. Don't want to say the difference in the game was three-point shooting, but it was pretty close. 14 of 31 was Virginia. That's a scary number. And Syracuse was 5 of 24 last night from 3, while also shooting 37% from the floor. The Orange now 9-5, 3-4 in the conference. Virginia's 11-2. And 7-0, and in the nation's top 10 yesterday afternoon at number 8.
You know, when Huff sits at the top of the key and just looks like it's effortless, that is a problem. I mean, that's a big man out there going, hey, I dare you. Okay, cool. Watch this. And he's making it consistently too, Wes. They are becoming a real problem. And I'm not talking about just for the conference. I'm talking about big picture. That's a team that seems to play with a ton of momentum. And lo and behold, up next for Virginia Tech is Virginia and Virginia Tech this weekend, which will be intriguing to see how that plays out. But we got some news about the Hokies later on. But, man, if you watched the game last night, that is a team, when you do your accounting, you will have them no lower than two, right? No lower than two. And you might have to have your head examined even on that standpoint. But they are really playing well. They're starting to look the part. That was the team everybody picked first. And they look it.
Yep. Well, and here's the other thing. We now can go back to where Virginia was in for the second consecutive year following the national championship. We did this a year ago. Remember the home loss to South Carolina? Didn't play particularly well. Really, what pack, I thought, until about late December, mid-December, third week in December last year, kind of going through the changes of no Jerome and no Kyle Guy. Well, this Virginia team, again, and understandably so, went through some orientation with Reese Beekman and Kihei Clark on the floor at the same time. How are they going to play Walden Tensai and Hauser together, Morsell, then Murphy becomes eligible. All those things come into play. Cafaro, what kind of minutes was he going to give you following Huff? I mean, all sorts of little ingredients that Tony Bennett and his staff had to figure out. A little more complicated when you don't have as many games, quite frankly. So, all that being said, Virginia is back. They've been back. All you folks yesterday who wanted to know where Virginia was after 20 minutes of the show, when we're talking about Florida State, well, the Cavaliers and the Noles are right there. And look, you can't say everything's a given, but we're about 3 weeks from a collision course. And the only meeting of the regular season between Virginia and Florida State. And if they stay on course, I think it'll be a top 10 game, Pack. And should be a heck of a show, because why? Both want to play with tempo. And that is a change of pace from what we've seen in the past between the Hokies, or rather the Cavaliers and the Seminoles.
I can't wait, but, you know, this COVID thing after football season, I don't even, 3 weeks from now is 100 years from now. I hope we get the game. It's kind of like when we were talking about Louisville and NC State women's basketball. Hey, can we just get to that game? Well, again, there's still some games between now and then. We'll figure that out. But if we get Virginia and Florida State, if they continue to hold serve like they look like they're doing right now, you could very well be right. We saw Florida State finally knock down the top 25 door yesterday, which we'll get to later in the show. But, yeah, those two teams right now are playing better than anybody else in the league. And now it's a matter of, all right, who wants to go catch those guys if you can? We got some, you know, we got some teams that can maybe partake and jump in the deep end of the pool with them. But right now, Virginia and Florida State really, really do look the part.
All right, let's get to the rankings. We left you yesterday with Pack and I projecting the number that Florida State would enter the top 25. And Mark is our winner because he was closest. He said 15. I said 11. And Florida State has shown up in the polls at 16. And if you want to buy a rising value, there's your value. Virginia went from 13 up to 8. Virginia Tech fell from 16 down to 20 in the polls that were released yesterday by the Associated Press. Louisville also has checked in at 25. So Cards and Seminoles make their move into the top 25 this week.
I was close. It was a neighborhood. I thought 10, I know Seth was talking anywhere from 7 to 10. I thought that was that was a bit extreme, but I will tell you, even though Florida State's ranked 16th, I don't think there's 15 teams today that can beat Florida State in this country. I do not.
No.
I do not.
I don't either.
So, you know, the rating, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you know, that's one of those things that I thought Florida State is being dissed by the national media, because a lot of times they're sound asleep. They're more concerned about why is Duke 500 and, you know, what's North Carolina doing and all that stuff. But, hey, Florida State's been rocking this league for a while now. They got a really great program and playing lights out. I mean, has anybody looked better than Florida State in this league the last couple of weeks? Maybe Virginia, but that's it. That's a short list.
Yeah.
But, man, they're getting it done on both ends. They're just playing with so much confidence. And, Now, Leonard's got so many guys, it's the same old story with Florida State. They're just going to come at you in waves, and on any given night, it could be any one of four or five, maybe six guys that lead them in scoring. It's crazy how good they are.
Let's go back to Coach Greenberg yesterday when he joined us on his Monday visit to Packer in Durham. And Seth was talking about where Florida State kind of should be, and if they weren't going to be ranked in the top 10, then he was going to question some people's sanity.
I want to see where Florida State is in the top 25 this week, because if they're not like between 10 and 7, the guys that vote are idiots.
Well, you know, listen, you can always apologize, Seth, for anybody that will be offended, because I assure you, in this day and age, if you say hello the wrong way, someone will be offended and an apology will be needed. Again, I thought that was a bit extreme, but hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's what makes America great.
Well, to his, let me say this now, to his point, let's roll some rankings at you here. They went from unranked to 16, but you said this. They're not 15 teams in America better than Florida State. But since New Year's Day, Pack, look at the Division I rankings for Florida State in these categories. Come on now.
No, I just said, I don't think there's 15 teams in America better than Florida State as we sit here today, the way they're playing currently. And that's why they got ranked 16th. You know, they went from, 29th to 16th, basically, because they were like fourth or fifth and also receiving votes the week before. So, you know, they bumped up 13 to 14 spots. I thought that was about right, to be honest with you. But the way they're playing, Wes, if that continues, they're on the fast track to get into the top 10. And I didn't think we could get, to be honest with you, when I think it was one of our questions on Barker, Bider, up and down and in or out or whatever all that is. Of whether or not we'd get a top 10 team. I didn't think we would this year. At the time, Virginia didn't look the part, and Florida State wasn't playing any basketball. And those two teams in particular have really, really shined since we got to the 21 calendar. So good for everybody, good for the league, good for Virginia, good for Florida State. I hope it continues. I'm all for it.
All right. One quick question here. Are you at least a little surprised Virginia Tech, after the loss at Syracuse, didn't drop any more than four spots?
Well, we had a lot of losses last week. I think if you did inventory on how many teams in the top 25 lost last week, a lot of this stuff is on timing, right? I mean, you could have teams pull the Florida Gator football trick where, hey, you lose again, nobody else lost, so we just, you know, or everybody lost around you, just drop a spot. So, you know, Virginia Tech's played good basketball. They did not play well at Syracuse. They're in the news for the wrong reason this week, which we'll get into a little bit. So, you know, Coach Young's guys have earned the right to be exactly where they are. They still have the best non-conference win of any team in the league by knocking off Villanova. And now that Jay Wright's guys are playing again, I've played, two games in the last 31 days. Jay Wright's guys are ranked third in the country. And guess what? Virginia Tech's got that scout. So, again, they've got the best non-conference win. They've played good basketball. They've played good teams. Mm-hmm. Didn't play particularly well at Syracuse. They're better than that. And I expect that they will be ready when Virginia comes rolling in. I'm telling you, that's going to be some kind of game this weekend. That'd be good.
Yeah. That's Saturday night, by the way, right here on ACC Network at 6 o'clock. Hokies are at South Bend, Indiana, Wednesday night to see Notre Dame. So that's kind of where that stands. Virginia, by the way, Cavaliers, after the win last night, don't play again until they visit Blacksburg on Saturday night. So nice little break for Tony Bennett and his team. We're going to recap and look ahead to two big ball games tonight coming up. Pittsburgh welcomes Carolina to the Peterson Event Center at 7 o'clock on ACC Network. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander will be there 9 o'clock tonight. Georgia Tech is at Duke, and that's over on ESPN with Reese Davis and John Crispin on the call. That ball game, a little fascinating as well. These two tonight, for real different reasons, Pac, have kind of a lot on them a little bit.
Agree. We'll talk about it, but you are 1,000,000,000% right. They are both important, and it feels like for different reasons. But we'll discuss this in detail later in the program.
Yeah, in fact, coming up, we're going to answer one of the really important questions for you, but reminder for you, Amanda Butler will join us today, fresh off Clemson's Big lead, then overtime win with Kendall Spray leading the way for the Tigers on Sunday. Look forward to talking to Coach Butler. Steve Forbes makes a triumphant return to this program after his 300th career win on Sunday night, or Saturday night, I should say, against Pittsburgh. We look forward to visiting with Coach Forbes. And Carleek Jones, who has kind of turned this league on its ear from some respects. The Radford grad transfer who has become really the straw that stirs Louisville's drink. We'll talk to Carleek Jones coming up at in the 9 o'clock hour. Steve Forbes at 9, Carleek Jones 9:30, Amanda Butler coming up at 8:15. On the other side, though, who's had the more dominant run in recent years? Oh, boy. Clemson football or Virginia basketball? This will get interesting. Packer and Durham's Tuesday rolls on right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, we talked about Virginia leading off the show and how they're playing lights out. And at the game last night, kind of a end of an era a little bit, Wes, in Charlottesville.
Yeah, our friend Doug Dowdy last night was honored by Virginia during the ball game. Last night is his final basketball game at University of Virginia. He's covered the Cavaliers since the 1970s, and he is going to hopefully join us this week, we hope. He is stepping away from the Roanoke Times, the newspaper he has worked for since the 70s. He is a, quote, in my opinion, ACC legend just by the manner of which he's covered this league, and in particular Virginia football and basketball. And we have legendary players, legendary coaches, right, Packer? We have legendary media. And Doug certainly falls into that category. And a lot of guys last night from the Commonwealth went to the ball game to be there to help salute Doug in his final ball game. We look forward to visiting with him hopefully some point along the road this week. A job well done. Tremendous loss for ACC media and certainly for the Roanoke folks as well. But Doug is retiring from the newspaper, I should say. After a long, long run. And he's got some classic stories. And you think about it, he's lived in Roanoke and driven to Charlottesville. So that's a few miles, Pack.
It is. He's also seen some great games. And he's walking out the door watching Virginia on an amazing run, right? We talked about 15 straight conference wins now for the Hoos. But if you make a larger snapshot of what Virginia has gone through here. Now, if you look at their last 63 conference games, I'm not talking about games, period, conference in the league. What have you done against league competition? You start seeing numbers, Wes, that remind you of another conference member in a different sport in terms of domination. What Clemson football has done really since 2014, really now 2015 on, they've won every ACC title. Have just been tremendous on the national scene, have been great in terms of beating and dominating ACC competition. Virginia basketball, since really about the 2017 season, the last 4 years and change, has kind of gone on somewhat of a similar run in terms of against ACC competition. And when you look at the numbers, a lot of folks might not think, you know, you just immediately think, oh, it's Duke, North Carolina, and you throw in some Louisville and some Syracuse. Look at Florida State. Look at what Virginia has done in the, since really the last 4 years in this league. I mean, they are on a tear. Now, look at this now. Virginia against ACC opponents straight up. There's a lot of zeros and ones over there, right? I mean, a bunch. Only the 500 record against Duke.
No more than two.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
And no more than two with two schools. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, you could equate, though, with the number of conference games that's being played. You know, certainly the smaller sample size in terms of games is football. You only play eight conference games this year, you know, nine or 10, depending on which school you subscribe to. End of the day, you find yourself going, whoa, wait a second. I mean, there was a time, you remember this, in the early 80s when somebody going undefeated in the ACC was unique, right, Pac?
Yeah.
In basketball. And that's kind of held form, but Virginia has made it pretty vogue to run the regular season. Now, Florida State's had their moments too. We could go back in the last, what, 2 or 3 years and put together a pretty competitive worksheet for really those two schools that are on that single regular season game we talked about in mid-February, along with maybe one or two others. But in terms of the last 63 games, 54-9 is a strong, strong number. Here's a look. 7 games better than Duke, 10 better than Florida State. Look at that list.
Those are some teams now. That's not like saying, hey, listen, I'm going to load up on the bottom tier and I'm feasting on them. Just look at those numbers a second. I'm just saying. Now, we're going to show you Clemson's football numbers, and you know how dominant the Tigers have been in football, and people go, oh, it's Clemson and nobody else in the league. I've heard that. If I had a dollar every time I've heard that doing the national radio show, I'd be my villa in Italy this morning. But look at the Virginia's number again, 54-9 in their last 63 conference games. That is a spectacular number, and that's a bunch of ranked teams in there too now. Like I said, that's not Cupcake City on those 54. That's strong.
So you get an idea of where Virginia is in basketball. Now let's roll the Tiger data at you. And it's as impressive as you think it might be. But here's the other thing, too. Both Virginia basketball and Clemson football have working margins. And, you know, which is better? This is an apples and oranges argument in some respects. But it just shows you how good these two programs have been in what are regarded as the two best sports in the ACC in terms of national exposure. And look, Clemson's numbers, when you see their figures over 63 games, and here you go, you don't see any twos.
Nope.
And you only see 5 ones. How about that? How about the money you might win on a bet of Clemson has lost 5 ACC games in their last 63. Name them. Name the schools.
I mean, that's just a goofy number right there. And of course, the Notre Dame record is actually better than that, but it doesn't include postseason play nor Notre Dame as a non-conference member. I mean, so really they're 3-1 against Notre Dame, but only 1-1 as far as an ACC opponent goes. And before somebody goes crazy on social media and goes, oh, they can't add. These guys don't even know who's in the league. We do know who's in the league. So the point of all of this is you hear in football season, it's Clemson and everybody else. Mm-hmm. In basketball, a league that is known for its hoops, you have a team right now, currently, that is starting to do numbers in terms of wins, losses versus not only everybody within your league. I even went into detail with versus ranked teams, and the numbers are really similar as far as what Clemson football and Virginia basketball are doing against ranked ACC members. And I'm not, again, this is not you got to choose one. It's basically just pointing out that we've been in awe watching what Dabo's done in Death Valley. You know, it's time for some people to start waking up a little bit about, Hey, I know Roy Williams at North Carolina, Coach K's at Duke, Boeheim's at Syracuse, Chris Mack's at Louisville, Leonard's at Florida State. I mean, we're talking about Hall of Fame, great coaches, great programs. Virginia's numbers since 2017 are almost, they look like typos. And all they do is show up and win. And maybe it's just the beauty part of this, Wes, that hey, for years and years, Virginia would just play suffocating defense and beat you 54-49. You're like, yeah. It's hard to watch. I mean, I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that. I can't watch them. Well, why not? All they do is win. Now they're starting to score. And I think it really makes Virginia, number one, entertaining and dangerous. But, man, a tip of the cap to both of them. Clemson football, Virginia basketball right now, they're going through truly amazing runs in the ACC.
All right, let's go to the wins and losses as it stacks up against your neighborhood, right? We showed you that Virginia's distance in the ACC is impressive given the basketball run, right? I mean, the difference is 7 ball games, 10 against Florida State, 16 against both Louisville and North Carolina. You rack up what Clemson has, that's a 20-game difference that the Tigers have against Florida State, Pac. 20 games.
This could be one of those bar bets that if you ask somebody, hey, in the last 63 conference games in football, you know Clemson's great, but who's number two? I wonder how many people would say Florida State, right? I mean, how many would say that?
Yep.
Not sure.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. How many people would peg Pitt tied with Virginia Tech for fourth in that list?
Like I said, it's we know how good the Tigers are, and everybody's playing catch up. But I don't know if folks understand the excellence which has become Virginia basketball, big picture. And that's no knock on the Dukes and Florida States and North Carolina's world, because they're terrific too. But Virginia has really been crazy good. I mean, it's getting to be good. Like when we had Tony on last week, and I kidded him around about, hey, you know, you're 22-1 since 2013 against Notre Dame and Clemson. And his answer was typical Tony Bennett. Totally, it's not about that. It's, hey, we play a bunch of really good. I mean, you know, he downplays everything and low keys it. And again, they play that way. They're humble. They understand who they are. They go to work, and all they do is execute and win. And whether it be a close game, which they won, what, 9 straight, one possession games, I think you mentioned yesterday. Now they've won 15 straight conference games. I mean, really, it's amazing what's happening right now in Charlottesville.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get some of your thoughts on the Clemson run and the Virginia run in football and basketball here over the last 63 conference games. When we come back, we told you a moment ago, two really interesting games tonight on the men's card. Carolina visits Pittsburgh. Panthers will certainly be looking to rebound after a disappointing loss in Winston-Salem. And Georgia Tech, off a 2-point loss Saturday night in Charlottesville, shows up in Durham, where they have not won in 17 years. Last time they won, Jared Jack, Clarence Moore.
Who was on the call?
Radio? Yeah. Bob Harris?
And?
Oh, you mean for Georgia Tech?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Golden voice.
Golden tones. All right, we'll come back, preview the Heels and Panthers, the Jackets and the Blue Devils, and the news out of Blacksburg, not good for Mike Young's team. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Amanda Butler joins us coming up here in about 45 minutes. The Clemson women's basketball coach, fresh off a win against top 25 Syracuse in a crazy game, led by 25 at the half. Watched it slip away, won in overtime. Piece of cake, just like you draw it up, Wes. Up 25, blow it, win it in OT. Well, you do it. We got good ones tonight, though.
Yeah, we do. By the way, shout out to Scott Reimer, by the way, on Twitter. Scott, way to go, son. You're our kind of people. We'll get to you. We'll get to you before the show's over, perhaps.
I just saw it. We'll get to that. Is right. That I'm sure is going to show its ugly head at some point in time between now and 10 a.m.
Sure is. That is absolutely. That left arm may hurt, but the pride is really going to be aching. All right. Here we go. The Panthers and Tar Heels tonight. And let me say this, because Pitt lost in Winston-Salem the other night, I don't think changes the dynamic of this a lot, because I still thought this was a really good game, whether Pitt won or lost, or whether actually Carolina won or lost, because both really need it. Had Carolina lost to NC State and Pitt beaten Wake or whatever has transpired elsewise, had both won or both lost, the game was going to be really important. And Mark, I'm going to go back to something you said last week, because I think it really starts to resonate when you watch Pittsburgh play. They play with an edge. They play tough. They play in a way that not many other – and Dan Bonner made this point the other night during the game with Mike Monaco. Pittsburgh plays the way you're going to get embraced by Pittsburgh people.
Right.
And that's important. And I think tonight they will challenge Carolina on every possession at both ends of the floor. I'd be disappointed if they didn't, to be honest with you.
Oh, they're going to. They're gonna test your manhood and just find out how interested you are in playing, right? That's just the way Pitt's going to get after you. And that dude right there, number 11, man, he has been awesome. Justin Champagny, and he kind of went off against North Carolina, made his presence known in this league when he played them last year. Pitt's beaten them two times in a row. And North Carolina, right. I think, again, they've played extremely well here lately. They've won 5 of 6. But one thing we've not seen from North Carolina, we've not seen them kind of turn it around on the road. I thought they played extremely well at Florida State. Mm-hmm. We've been bragging about how great Florida State's been since the pause. Well, that North Carolina-Florida right. State game in Tallahassee was anybody's game with 3 minutes to go. In some respects, you could make the case that I think maybe the best North Carolina has played in winning 5 of 6 was their loss. Because they knew they had to step it up. They're going to have to step it up tonight. And, you know, I don't want to talk about last year's North Carolina team because that's a million years ago. And they had just miserable time beating anybody. But this team is 1-4 this year on the road. And so if North Carolina is going to get into that upper tier of the alphas, if you will, we know about Virginia. Right. We know about Florida State. Who else wants to join the mix? This is the kind of game you've got to win. You got to go on the road against a bunch of tough guys who are fresh off a loss that they didn't expect, and they're going to be excited to see and try to beat you for the third straight time. This is an important game, I think, for both sides, for Pitt to regain momentum and for North Carolina to prove that they can take it on the road and beat a good team.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is collectively they get a chance to show how much better they've gotten. I thought Saturday was, you know, the bigs went to work against NC State. Funderburk and Bates were both there on the floor. Wasn't like they were playing anybody shorthanded. And as I said yesterday, I thought the real key element was they got all three guys to play within themselves, Pack, and to a degree showed some continuity. Here's a look at the before New Year's Day and after. And Kerwin Walton, by the way, who has been a fixture in the starting lineup, has kind of tripled his scoring to about 10.5 points a game. Now you have the combination of Caleb Love playing well, R.J. Davis, Anthony Harris giving him a lift as well. How much does that factor into it? You know, freshmen have made 33 starts for Roy Williams this year, Mark. 33. That's more than most people would think.
That would be true. And I know when we were doing, speaking of true, our true and false the other day, I think we had a question regarding Justin Champagne. True or false, will lead the ACC in scoring and rebounding at the end of the year. Well, we don't know about the end of the year, but I know right now he does. So like I said, number 11 will be key tonight for North Carolina. But, man, Pitt's been giving you that three-headed monster. This is a fun game. This is one of those I guarantee you tomorrow we will be buzzing about this one in addition to the other game taking place at Cameron Indoor. These are two important games in the ACC tonight as far as the pecking order is concerned.
Jeff Capel, by the way, yesterday during the ACC coaches availability for media, talking about the growth he's seen in Roy Williams' club.
You know that they're going to be great, not good, but great on the offensive glass. They punish you there. You know they're going to be great in transition. They punish you there. But where they, to me, where they've gotten better is the maturation of their freshmen. Caleb Love, Walton, his ability to shoot the basketball, R.J. Davis, his ability to shoot and play make. And I'll tell you what, man, this kid Sharp has been incredible. And so I think, you know, with the maturation of their freshmen, I think that's why they're playing so well right now.
It's a good one, man. Get your popcorn tonight, ACC fans. You got two of them tonight that are going to be really, really intriguing.
And you mentioned the sense dirt factor, right?
Yep. Trying to beat North Carolina 3 straight. Never happened since dirt. Pitt's going to try to pull it off.
You go back to the early 70s when Coach Smith took a team up there to see Buzz Riddle and Mooney Knight play at the old Fitzgerald Fieldhouse.
Old school.
Panthers won that one, but couldn't put 3 together. Sidebar, the ACC player and freshman of the week on the floor tonight. Justin Champagne was the player of the week. Caleb Love, the rookie of the week, if you will. That's old school. By the way, Champagne winning 2nd straight player of the week award. First guy since Joel Berry 4 years ago to do that in the ACC. Okay. Quickly, Duke and Georgia Tech we'll get to because that's an interesting ball game as well. News out of Blacksburg yesterday impacts Mike Young's team and the ball game at Notre Dame and probably for the remainder of the regular season, or at least in the foreseeable future. Virginia Tech announced yesterday the indefinite suspension of Tyrese Radford for not upholding the high standards Virginia Tech has for its students and athletes. Radford, of course, was one of their leading scorers, certainly one of their leading rebounders, second on the team in scoring and rebounding and assists, the team leader in minutes at 31 minutes a ball game. He was the guy, Mike Young told us about it in his last visit on our show, he was the guy that kind of is the Swiss Army knife, if you will, to what their success is. It is a significant loss for Virginia Tech. How will their rotation be impacted? We'll find out, I guess, tomorrow night at Notre Dame when they take the floor at 7 o'clock. But, Mark, that's a situation they can ill afford to have, for Tyrese Radford to be gone. But, again, the decisions you make off the floor oftentimes impact the decisions that other people have to make for you on the floor.
Well, listen, we're not going to judge anybody. We all screw up and make mistakes, and he made a mistake. And, you know, he's going to have to suffer the consequences for it. And I'm sure there's nobody that feels worse about it than him. That I'm sure he's looking in the mirror going, man, what was I thinking? So, hey, we all screw up. We all make mistakes. Hopefully he can rectify that and get things back on track and figure that out. But as far as the basketball team is concerned, it's going to be next man up. Now, I would think a guy like Jalen Cohn now really comes into play. And I know he's struggled here the last couple games. But he's, you know, people are going to have to fill in blanks here because – let me tell you something now. Radford did a lot of things for this club. I mean, in terms of, you just went through minutes, points, rebounds, leadership, toughness, the whole deal. So, hey, next man up. And so I suspect a guy like Jalen Cohn may get some more opportunities as opposed to, hey, I'm just going to be Superman coming off the bench. But this is a loss for Virginia Tech. I'm not sure that they will have an immediate answer for this in the short term. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, Notre Dame, then here come the Hoos. So, these are the kind of headlines you just don't want to see for Virginia Tech or anybody else for that matter. But again, everybody makes mistakes. And unfortunately, he'd like to have that one over. No question.
One of the points, and Mike Young yesterday during the ACC teleconference said, we've got enough players in this building to win. From a minutes and a rebounding perspective, you mentioned Jalen Cohn. I think that's important from the scoring side of things. Yeah. Joe Bamisil and Darius Maddox are two younger guys who did see action earlier in the season. Maddox has tended to play more than Bamisil here recently for the Hokies. I would suspect that Maddox's minutes go up and they'll be leaning on him to do a little bit of the rebounding. Radford is not replaced in one spot. You're going to have a couple different guys do something every night in order to kind of keep the continuity of his numbers alive for sure. But as you said earlier, they travel to Notre Dame for a ball game tomorrow and host Virginia on Saturday night, 6 o'clock right here on ACC Network. I think that gets us covered. And we got plenty more coming up. In fact, we've got a big ball game tonight with Carolina and Pittsburgh. That's the ball game. We'll talk about the Tar Heels and Panthers and, of course, the Jackets and the Blue Devils coming up. But that game tonight, 7 o'clock, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander will be at Peterson Athletic Center for the ball game. And we look forward to having it for you right here. 7 o'clock on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. And when we come back, we'll turn to the women's basketball card. And the rankings are out, and no change at the top. Louisville and NC State still 1-2 nationally. And headed to an absolute showdown next week. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network. We'll get to Duke and Georgia Tech because that's another biggie tonight. But the polls are out. We already talked about the men's side, right? Who's cracked the top 10? Florida State up to 16. Virginia Tech's at 20. Louisville's in at 25. When it comes to the ladies, you just start at the top and stop. 1-2. That's all you need to know. 1-2. And everybody still has to hold serve before you get to Monday night because that is showdown night with NC State and Louisville. But Wes, I'm not surprised with the rankings. Both of them were absolutely scared out of their wits on Sunday. Could have lost both of them. You know, Dana Evans to the rescue with an incredible three-point play with 8 seconds to go in right. Winston-Salem. We had Wes Moore on the show yesterday. The Wolfpack down by a dozen with five to play, going a 16-0 run. So both of them held serve over the weekend. The question is, can they continue to do that this week to set up Monday's unbelievable 1-2 showdown?
Well, and if they do, it really brings a stage to two coaches that have done a marvelous job, right? Because Wes Moore and Jeff Walls have done outstanding work. And you start looking at active coaches who've won national championships, and it's a pretty interesting list. None of them are ranked 1-2 in the polls this week, obviously. Gino Auriemma is third, Don Staley fourth, Tara Vanderveer sixth, Brenda Fries, Gary Blair, Kim Mulkey. There you go. That rounds out the top 10. Those are all the active coaches that have won national championships. How about that?
That's crazy.
Right behind Jeff Walls and Wes Moore.
That's nuts. I mean, really, that really is kind of goofy, to be honest with you. It's almost as if it was rigged, and it's not. But I do know who's one, and I do know who's two.
And I
know we had Wes on the show yesterday, and we asked him about the pressure of being number two, ties to the highest that they've ever been ranked in their history.
Sure.
He talked about all that stuff. I do think it wears on you a little bit when you're not that person every single year. Now, again,
right.
Jeff Walls has done a marvelous job at Louisville. They're number one for the first time. Yep. NC State's now number two, ties the highest, I said, of all time. So I do think, as much as you like to downplay it, we don't talk about it, we don't spend any time looking at it, I think you know when you're in that kind of spot, right? I mean, you're sitting with a zero in the loss column. You want to stay perfect. You know this game is looming. You knew it was going to be taking place, weeks ago, and all of a sudden it got postponed, and, hey, we got the chance to reschedule it. So I just think it's kind of like the elephant in the room, right? It's one of those deals you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to make a big deal about it. But, man, it's just natural to say, hey, we're the number one team in the country. Or, hey, we're number two, and we get a shot at number one next week. For us idiots sitting behind desk watching games on the couch, it's awesome. But I think if you're a coach and a player, I think you feel it a little bit. You have to. You have to.
Absolutely. And I think the other part about it is that you respect the opponent, but you also realize the stakes of this are not just for your season – or their season in the case of next Monday night. But I thought Coach Moore was pretty interesting when he talked about, hey, look, we got to go back and play Virginia Tech Thursday night.
Right.
And he understands that you got to stay on schedule. You can't look ahead. As much as everybody wants to talk about Monday night, and we're as guilty as anybody on that deal, those guys have got to focus their kids on playing the next game. And the next game is not Monday night. And I think that's it's a key strategy point for Wes Moore this week. Look, Jeff Walls has been to a couple Final Fours, played for the national title. Wes Moore's had Sweet 16 trips in 18 and 19. He knows the long game in this. And as much as you want to get excited about looking ahead, you got to still play the long game. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that's one of the reasons these two teams have been successful this far into the season. All the pauses, all the things that have occurred, this is where, and Seth talks about the three Ps, and I think some of that preparation comes into play. And also, I'll add another one that he sometimes refers to in a different way, and that's the philosophy of your program. And I think that's one of the key elements here, certainly for next Monday night.
And going back to NC State a second, having to play the same team twice back-to-back, and especially the way you just won, right? Your star player, Quinane's not available. Wasn't Sunday. Hopefully she can play coming up Thursday. We don't know. He still didn't know as of yesterday. You got to figure, to me, Virginia Tech women's team kind of reminds me of the Wake Forest men's team a little bit. It's like at some point in time, Kenny Brooks is going to get somebody. All right. I mean, they have been so ridiculously close. I went through the whole list. I think they've lost two games by two, one by three, one by four, one by five, one by six. And just seems like at one point in time, they're going to bust through. And I thought for a while on Sunday, that was going to be the answer, was going to be NC State. Now, you got to figure, if NC State is not 100%, they got this giant game looming coming up Monday against number one, You got to go beat the team you just really kind of stole one from when you went on a 16-0 run late in the fourth quarter to come back from 12 down to win. It seems like that's kind of a dangerous game. You know, the team you're going to play is ticked off. They said, man, we should have won that game Sunday. Now you got to get, now they come to your house. Again, I don't want to fast forward the clock to next Monday. That's stupid. But I to me, NC State needs to be careful Thursday because I'm telling you, the Hokies are going to get somebody. It seems like they're just overdue. Mm-hmm. You have so many close calls against good teams. Eventually, you just kind of get yourself into one where you just go, hey, guess what? It's our night. We're going to win this thing. So NC State, beware Thursday.
No question. I think the other part that's that kind of is curious about the way this thing sets up is that you're also looking for a scenario like a Liz Kittley, a Lisa Kunane situation, right? Kunane did not play Sunday, as you noted a moment ago. Kittley had 30 points and 13 rebounds. Yep. Liz Kittley's turned into one of the best post players in this league, Mark.
No doubt.
And to not have your best weapon, you know, is a pause for concern. And even if you do, let's be honest, is it going to be at 100%? Probably not. But again, I you're right. Virginia Tech's going to get somebody, and NC State's got to hope they dodge that upset bullet on Thursday night in Blacksburg as well. We're all excited about next Monday night. We'll continue to preview along the way and certainly give you a full dose of it on next Monday's show when 1 vs. 2 with Louisville and NC State. It's on ESPN2, by the way, next Monday night. But Dana Evans and Camilla Cardoza were the player and freshman of the week, respectively, for Louisville and Syracuse this week at ACC Women's Basketball. Tough loss for Quentin Hillsman, by the way, on Sunday. We'll talk to Amanda Butler coming up about her team's stick-to-itiveness. You had a big lead in the second half, gave it back, game went to overtime, and then you ran off and won. The value in the ticket, Pac.
I was going to say, I mentioned yesterday Clemson women's team had a crazy week because they had the double overtime thriller in Tallahassee. A game they probably looked back and said, man, a play here, a play there. We went in the game on the road to take that thing home, and you lose it. Then they had some issues as far as who was available to even play against Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And Q's team, again, ranked in the top 25, rolls into Little John. And at halftime, they're down 25, getting run right out of the building. And because they are a quality team, you knew they'd respond. And, boy, did they. They send it to overtime. And then Clemson figures out a way to win it. So Amanda will join us coming up here in about 15 or 20 minutes. We look forward to having her on the show.
All right, we've given you a lot of things here in hour one. You know, we've compared the Virginia basketball run, the Clemson football run. We've kind of previewed a little bit of the games tonight and some of the news items of the day. And when we come back, we're going to tackle something that I'm afraid is probably going to be a subject all the way through the rest of the regular season. And that is, do you go to Greensboro for the ACC tournament? Well, yesterday, a couple of coaches spoke on the possibility of potentially not playing in the conference tournament because of the NCAA. Packer and Durham Hour 2 starts next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.